can turn the world on with a smile. You can take a nothing day and suddenly make it all seem worthwhile. What a secret, and you should know it. Each glance and every little movement you show it.
Love is all around,
no need to fake it.
You can never it down.
Why don't you take it? You're gonna make it after all.
Hey everybody, it's me, Rose. And I'm not really sure what I'm going to talk about. I don't have any note cards because I've been sick for over a week. It all started when I went to go see Allison. Allison, your aim's not true. So the last episode I ended kind of feeling pretty good. I had had a successful time at the food bank without any creepiness happening and got out there super quick. And I was excited to finally meet with a therapist for the first time since I lost mine in January when I lost Medicaid, just to recap all the boring details for you. One of the reasons I was excited was I read her bio, just like I read my new GP's bio. My new GP is from Vancouver, BC, or Victoria, BC, and was educated in Edmonton. I don't know why the fuck she would move to America, but people make their choices, I guess. Allison, the therapist, Allison Cohen, had details about the fact that she was like, you know, neurologically based and cognitive and blah, blah, blah. And I know that I've had issues because anxiety can really affect your brain function in more ways than just, oh my God, I'm too afraid to leave my apartment today. And so I was excited to maybe actually get some psychological testing done and have it be like a real thorough thing, like my GP had kind of made it sound like, and from there get a referral for a therapist that I could afford and work with and all that from there. Now, one of the things my brain will do when I'm anxious is it'll freeze up and I'll just forget to say really important things when I'm being asked about what's wrong or what my current situation is and blah, blah, blah. So that's right. I brought note cards. I just wrote down what my current symptoms were, for lack of a better word, just like what my current behavior was, what the current things I was frustrated with. And of course, you know, when I got there, they have that little depression questionnaire. It's always so much fun to remind yourself just how much you feel like shit. One thing that I've noticed, though, in filling out the little depression questionnaire, I have all the hopelessness, like all of that has completely stayed the same, if not in some ways gotten worse. I think more because of just how I feel about the world situation that we're living in right now. Plus the fact that it's never getting better, how strange men treat me when I'm out in the world. So those two things tend to make me feel more hopeless. But what has improved is my self-esteem. Should I say it a little louder? Further from the mic, from my phone. Self-esteem? Yeah, it's weird. And I'll go ahead and jump in on that now, why I think that's changed. When I was on, it was not me smacking my puss. Just want you to know that. Smacking the puss. See why I use note cards? Hey, fat tongue, quit tripping over yourself. So when I was on pharmaceuticals, the biggest side effect of them was self-harm or thoughts of self-harm, as well as suicide attempts. That's right, plural. Only one landed me in the hospital. That was the final one. And just having a constant interior monologue about how terrible I was. And I noticed that change, like like a few months ago, I kind of started noticing it more and more. And since I'm not on meds and I don't have thoughts of self-harm and I don't do self-harm and all that, which means even though I'm really self-aware of all my mental health issues and like when I should stay home so I don't go out in the world and cry or yell at somebody, on meds, I couldn't trust myself. Again, because I just was like, oh, self-harm, or acting out, and just I just felt so out of control on pharmaceuticals. And of course, since I was always told that they were supposed to be helping me, then I internalized it as, well, then I must just be a big piece of shit that chemicals can't help. And now, you know, I'm a big piece of shit because I've gained back the 30 of the 40 pounds I'd lost. But in general, I think I'm pretty okay. And that's because I can trust myself again. I'm no longer my own worst enemy in terms of wondering, when am I going to have to unplug all my box fans because I suddenly have the instinct to throw water at them? Or when do I have to, like, you know, make sure that no knives are near me or that I'm not burning myself or, you know, whatever that I used to do when I was much younger? Suddenly, I'm a safe human being, if that makes any kind of sense. You know, even though there's things that still are or feel beyond my control, in terms of my ability to go out and do things that I want to do, the fact that I don't feel like hurting myself anymore, man, I tell you, that'll really make you feel good about yourself. Like I no longer feel like I'm sleeping with the enemy, and the enemy is me. So I weirdly answer pretty positive on the self-esteem things. I don't feel hopeful for my future, but that's not because I'm a garbage human being. It's because I've got some limits on me, and unlike, you know, other disabilities or other disenfranchised groups or whatever, I can't get the help that I need for it, which we'll get to in a second. Hey, why don't we get to it right now? So I, you know, filled out all the little questionnaire about where I was on my depression, and I had my little note cards about what, you know, had been going on with me recently, including the stuff with the neighbors and the clown pussy shove, that shits. And I go into Allison's office, and I have learned not to prejudge people who are young enough to be my own kid. You know, if I'd had a kid at, like, say 23 or 20, because my previous therapist was younger, and she was the fucking best that I've ever had. So yeah, I didn't have any prejudge there, and I sat down and I gave Allison the clipboard with the questionnaire on it, and I had my little index cards in a Ziploc bag like a weirdo, because that's the easiest way to carry them in my backpack. And I handed them to her with the questionnaire on the clipboard and says, yeah, I just wanted to write down some stuff because sometimes when I'm nervous, I forget what I need to say. And she took that she took the clipboard from me and she set it aside on the counter and turned to me. And I looked pretty rough. I wasn't bawling and crying like I had been the previous week to see the GP, because I had already been there, and so I felt calmer this time. But, you know, no makeup. My hair looks like rat's ass right now. And, you know, and I was dressed for like I could give a fuck about the world. You know, like I wasn't my usual cute rose self. You know, the one that inspires so much disgusting commentary from strangers. Okay, nice people too. And so Allison turned and looked at me, didn't look at the clipboard, didn't look at the index cards. She just turned to me and said, My name is Allison Cohen, and I'm a psychologist, but I'm not the kind that wants to talk about the past. I don't want to hear about the past. I want to help you get tools for moving forward in the future. And I said to myself, you're a fucking cunt. And I'm sure my face probably reflected that. Because here's the thing, Allison. Everything I just handed to you is about the fucking present day. One of them is your fucking questionnaire, all about how I feel currently, not in the past. So my impression sitting there in front of you as you give what is the verbal equivalent of a dry erase board sales pitch of your perky little skills, all I hear is not only does she not give a shit about the past, but she doesn't give a shit about the present because she's not looking at it. She's just telling me about her. Yeah. And, you know, I think I've mentioned that I've had a couple of previous shitty therapy encounters in the past. One, the first one was when I went to DC General in like 1981, 82, which is as hair-bare as one would think. You know, general hospitals tend to be sketchy. DC General Hospitals, super sketchy. 1981 or 82, hey, really bad times. So that therapist in the intake asked if I had any trouble with the law or in jail or anything. And I was like, nope. And she asked if I had any trouble with drugs or alcohol. And I didn't partake in either. And I said, no. And so her third suggestion was that I get right with God. Oh, she asked if I was active in the church and I said, no. And so that's when she told me that's where the answer was for me. That was helpful. I never saw her again. I left bawling my eyes out, of course. And then another one in the early 90s, he suggested that I just get more involved in my housework. Maybe then I wouldn't feel so isolated and listless and depressed and self-harming and all of that. You know, dust my way to bliss. Maybe sit on top of a washing machine or a dryer. I don't know, maybe get creative with a vacuum hose. But yeah. And then there's the third. The third strike, she's out, Allison, who opens with, I'm not a psychologist. I'm not here to talk about the past. And that's kind of been the problem with most of my therapists up until the one that I was as successful as I'm going to be with. Every therapeutic situation that I had been in up before moving back here to Portland had been when I was in crisis mode, and it was basically just to like, let's see what medication we can switch her up on and get her like at least functioning enough to go back into work, swallowing as many pills and suffering as many side effects as necessary. Let's just throw drugs at the problem. Nobody was interested in talking about the past at all, which kind of explains how people get to the present day, don't you think? And given that my mental thing isn't bipolar or schizophrenia or whatever, it's all trauma. It's all experiential. Is that the word? It's all cumulative damage. And so to not talk about it is to deny why I react the way I react now. Doesn't that sound like a rational way of thinking? What the fuck do I know? I'm crazy. So Allison continued on with her little sales pitch about what she could do, and I cut her off like once or twice and said, yeah, I'm really familiar with cognitive behavioral therapy. It used to be called behavior modification, and I started reading up on it in the 80s, probably before you were born, certainly before you were in college. I did not say all that part, but I did say that, yeah, I'm really familiar with EBT, DBT, cognitive CBT, all the BTs, all the behavioral therapies. I know that shit inside and outside. And I always get good points from my therapist for my coping skills, believe it or not, even if a coping skill is realizing when you shouldn't go the fuck out in the world because it's going to be bad for everybody. What I need is to be heard. What I need is to be listened to. What I need is that old-fashioned, fucked-up thing that isn't allowed anymore called talk therapy. Because talk therapy, the effectiveness can't be measured on a matrix. It can't be quantified. Whereas giving pills can be measured out. And raising a dose or lowering a dose can be measured out. And it's what insurance companies love to pay for. Just keep people doped up and not actually talk about anything, which is kind of, maybe I'm reducing it a little bit too much. Then again, based on my experience, I'm going to say I'm not. So she prattled on while I stared at the word "and" on her poster that I can't even tell you what the poster was of. I just stared at the word "and," just that 5,000-yard death stare and locked jaw. And I mean, I forget how fucking angry of a face I can have without saying anything or even looking at anybody. But I knew that I was doing it then and it felt good. And so I mentioned, well, I was there for a referral, and she said, well, did you have anybody in mind? Hey, Allison, this is my first time here with, Providence. And of course, since you didn't read anything about me, you don't know what I need or what I might be looking for. And since I'm not part of your system, I don't know what your system has to offer to know who to look for or what to look for. That's why the fuck I'm here, bitch. So she looks online for a couple of addresses that she thinks are near my zip code and hands me a printout of two different places to try. She, of course, completely, like most people, completely blanked out on the fact that I kept mentioning over and over again, I take the bus, and so it has to be within a reasonable public transportation distance for me to get there. No, she didn't pay attention to that. She was assigning me to a place outside of Portland city limits altogether. Cute little Allison. So efficient little Allison. And she said that if I had trouble finding, you know, a place, or if it took a while for me to get, you know, like locked into any new therapist, certainly I could come back and see her for four or five more times that the insurance company would pay for. And I declined. I said, no, I don't ever want to see you again. And I left. I know I didn't say I never want to see you again when I left. Because I couldn't talk at that point. I was so rattled. And part of it, again, is the high expectations I had based on what I read about her, based on what the GP had told me about her. I had an expectation of help. And instead, I got a sales pitch and I learned all about Allison. Not what I wanted. So I left, I went to the bathroom to pee and to cry, and then I walked back into the waiting room and I walked up to the receptionist and I told her to cancel my appointment with the GP that I had later that month because I never wanted to come into that office ever again based on my experience with Allison. And I walked out and left. And
Took the bus home.
Yeah, I did that. And of course, as soon as I got home, I just started bawling my eyes out. Not like fucking them. Not like that old, like, bawling. You know, like back in the days when people used to talk about creaming your jeans. Did you ever grow up with that phrase? Creaming your jeans? Or is that such a 70s thing? Probably, hopefully, a 70s thing. Who wants to think about creaming their jeans? I think I've said that enough. Moist panties. I think I want to develop Tourette's syndrome as a coping skill. Just walk around and go, moist panties, moist panties, moist panties, motherfucker, motherfucker. That would be fun. That'd be a new coping skill to develop. I bet I could if I put my mind to it. So anyway, I just started fucking crying hysterically. Because at that point, I realized if Allison was my best bet, I am completely fucked. And of course, because I have tiny, tiny sinus passages, so tiny that they've had to be surgeoned on, operated on twice. Ooh, that's a disgusting thing. I do enjoy having my ears sucked out. Anyway, that's a whole, I mean, with a machine, I don't mind a good tongue in the ear either. But so anyway, all that crying and everything fucked up my sinuses. And by that evening, I was running a low-grade fever, and I have been sick ever since. And that was, let's see, today's Monday, so that was a week ago Thursday that I saw Allison. The GP's office called me up that day, frantically concerned about how I had left the office. I don't know, maybe one of them actually read the fucking questionnaire I filled out. Or my index card notes. I don't know. But ever since then, this one nurse in particular named Sarah, I did not dare ask if it's with or without the H, because you know how picky it is with the world of Sarahs and A's and H's. It's an H, motherfucker. Never without. Thank you. Why would I care about that? It's a family name. That's why. So yeah, one of the places that they recommended to me doesn't even accept Medicare. And that one took about 4 days, a phone tag, to get that one resolved before I realized that one was a no-go. A bunch of the other places recommended aren't taking anybody new. And in the meantime, I'm still getting sicker and sicker, or just feeling worse and worse. Like a low-grade fever every night and chills and not eating during the day, just crying and pacing. Because sometimes when I'm depressed or when people are depressed, they'll sleep a lot. Other times, they'll be really restless as all fuck. I tend to be the restless as all fuck. And I'm going to assume that it's because I've got the PTSD component to my depression. Could be wrong. That's just what I'm going with. So I wasn't able to like rest like I needed to. And it was just, sorry, I'm distracted by a bird with a motherfucking peanut in its mouth. Oh, I'm sorry. There it goes. Okay. Welcome to Wild Kingdom of my patio. Let's see, where was I? So yeah, she was giving me all these recommendations. And I was calling them, and none of them were working. And so then I would just get more and more frustrated and hysterical. And then she would keep reaching out to try to see if there were other options for me. You know, and of course, like when I spoke with Nurse Sarah, I didn't go into full detail about what had gone on with Allison. And why I reacted the way I did. But I know that they were, I guess, like I said, they looked at the fucking, somebody got smart and looked at the questionnaire, because Sarah's big concern was that I might hurt myself, or, you know, she just really wanted to make sure that I
I knew what the crisis phone numbers were and where the walk-in emergency places were if I needed to, and not to worry. I wouldn't be hospitalized just because I went in for emergency help. And I explained to her, like, oh no, I did all that back in the late 90s when I lived in Portland before. I know how all of that works. I know how all of that works, and it doesn't work for me. So I know what does work for me, and I can't get it. But I'm not going to, calling some crisis hotline. That doesn't do it. It's weird. It just makes, like I said, I've done it before, and it makes me feel hollow and just worse. Anyway, it's kind of hard to explain that one, like how it doesn't work for me. It doesn't really matter. The fact is it doesn't. So that's kind of what went on for most of last week too. Until finally, I guess it was, this last Thursday or Friday when Nurse Sarah and I spoke. And that's when I told her that Allison's opening line was, "I'm not here to talk about the past," or "I don't want to hear about the past." Which took Nurse Sarah by surprise. And I was like, yeah, I said, that's, as far as I'm concerned, she shut me down as soon as I walked in the door and there was nothing else for her to offer me. And that's why I've been sick ever since. It's set me off and has set me back so far that's why Nurse Sarah was on her end trying to find places for me, because I was at the point where I wouldn't even go online. I couldn't go online and keep trying and failing and trying and failing. Trying and failing to find help was also something that I had mentioned on the questionnaire of why I was feeling so hopeless. Yeah. So, Nurse Sarah, bless her heart, she was trying everything that she could do, and she found one place that had sliding scale, which means $20 a session, that's done by, I forget, it's like Catholic therapy, whatever, blah, blah, blah. It's a religious heading kind of a place over near the grotto, over in a part of town that would be shit to get to on the bus, blah, 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 blah. Not going to do anything religious, thank you. And so I didn't even bother returning her call when I got that information and that option, because I also know that now that I'm paying for Medicare, I can't afford $20 a week for therapy. That's $80 a month. That's my electric bill. Well, actually, my electric bill was higher in the wintertime. But that's a huge chunk of my money. When $125 is already going to Medicare, and I have to pay for copays now to see a specialist. Therapy is just beyond my affordable reach. And I know that sounds really crazy, but worrying about that $80 a month is going to twist me up and fuck me over more than going without a therapist. Starting over with somebody brand new and not knowing if they're going to be just as shitty as some of the examples I've given before, for $20 a session, that twists me up and makes me feel worse. So I just didn't even bother returning Sarah's call. And I just focused on trying to get my physical health back, which is why this is so boring. Because really, honestly, all I did for last week was cry a lot, blow a lot of snot, blow a lot of dudes. No. Blew a lot of snot, did some snot vomiting. Millie decided to join in. What a good kitty. She was like blowing out snot ropes, and while they were still dangling, she was sucking them back into her mouth. Should I remind you that Millie is a cat? Yeah, fuck this idea about cats being dainty and dogs being Neanderthals. Cats are disgusting, okay? They're just, at least mine is, bless her little heart. So yeah, that was that was my week, was just my head hurting so much from crying so much and then dealing with all the internal sewage as a result, and ginger diarrhea. That's when I want to form two bands. One will be called Snot Vomit, and the other one will be called Ginger Diarrhea, because I use too much ginger. I'm so glad I could share that with you. So anyway, Sarah called again this morning, since I didn't return her call on Friday. And I actually spoke with her and explained why she should just hang it up, that I can't afford sliding scale, and I'm not going to go anywhere religious, and that it's easier for me to move on and move forward, just resigning myself to the fact that I'm not going to have therapy versus all this fucking try and fail, try and fail, try and fail, try and fail. Yeah. So kind of like the kind of the worst time in what feels like for me American history, certainly the worst time that I can remember ever. And like I said, I was a weirdo that watched the fucking Watergate hearings as a child in elementary school. So all this bullshit about being woke that people want to fucking think they're doing now, it's like, it's too late, motherfuckers. Anyway, so yeah, it's a great time to be alive and to have no access to therapy. There you go. Yet there's not really much else to say about that, is there? So before everybody just starts crying, boo-hoo, boo-hoo, ha-ha, things didn't completely suck last week. There were some actual good things, and that's something that it's weird. I don't even have to think about, how do I explain this? You know, there's the whole thing of like, well, when you're feeling bad, try to think about the things that you're grateful for. Like, I don't have to do that because I'm good at recognizing what's going well in the moment and kind of tucking it away in my pocket for later, because I know that I have so few good moments that I'm going to want to look back and remember it. I have so few good moments that they stand out. So I don't really have to sit down and work on my attitude for gratitude. One of my tulips has bloomed. I posted on Facebook about being sickly, and one of my friends saw it and came to the rescue. By coming to the rescue, I mean she went to the grocery store and got everything that I wanted in terms of garlic and oranges, and I even took a picture of the kitty treats that Millie likes that she was running out of, and I even had cash to give my friend for it and some other giveaway stuff that is useful to her. So that was super nice. Just wow. Like I'm being sick. I'm feeling in need. I'm feeling isolated, and somebody is responding in a thoughtful, kind, and caring way, just like a friend should do. And I'm learning about the world of friends. It's a weird thing for me, because if you haven't learned how to maintain connections with people, then you don't know how to maintain connections with people. And I've always done best. It started in high school when I had pen pals who were into the same weird music and stuff that I was into. So in a weird way, I've always done better having long distance friendships than in person. And it's just because that's just what I got used to for so long, you know, from pen pals to the internet. That's kind of my jam. Sanchez, you're the pinnacle of that. I mean, I've had other internet friends longer than you. Don't get yourself that excited. But you know, I think you and I have actually grown into a real friendship. I think if we lived in the same town, we might actually try hanging out now and then. I know. It would be weird. But we would both be able to acknowledge that and move on with our attitudes of gratitudes. Oh, fuck you, Allison. I just want to fucking hit you in the fucking face. Feels good to allow myself to say things like that. Maybe that's growth. Let's see some other fun things that happen. The security camera, I'm finally at peace with it. I've got it set up so it does motion detector recording. And so now I get to watch playback at, you know, like when I'm sitting down to watch the news in the evening, I'll go back and do the playback and download whatever I might want to, because I think it's useful for sketchy dudes that show up and that I document. And I don't know. I want to do something creative with some of the footage. We'll see. The kids have stayed away from my window, kind of. Both of their moms seem to have noticed the camera. And the neighbors that are the reason why I had to get the camera in the first place. Well, this is fun. A couple of nights ago, there are some tweakers. Again, I saw this all on playback. So there were like a boy and a girl tweaker in the parking lot, kind of furtively looking around for where they could do their little tweaker business of tweaking, or maybe shooting up and then doing that nice little heroin standing still wobbly dance thing that's so popular among heroin users. Why would you shoot standing up? I don't know. I don't fully understand. I mean, I've known junkies. I just never asked them that. Oh, well, that's a missed opportunity. Anyway, so the tweakers were furtively looking around for a place to do their business, and they saw my camera and decided not to do it in front of my window. And so I got to watch them walk over to my next-door neighbor's bedroom window, and they got out of camera sight, but they were there doing their tweaky business. So I hope the girls next door enjoyed that. Because they're the whole reasons why the tweakers are in front of their window and not mine. Because they're the reason why I finally broke down and bought a security camera. Haven't gotten any shit from the landlord about having the security camera. If I do, I'll be glad to show her the footage of the tenants who are walking dogs and violating their lease. It's two so far. One in this building who has now learned not to walk past the camera. And then one of the other ones. Anyway, I said I wasn't going to do neighbor news here. And look, that's what I did, because that's all I did this week. I was homesick and crying and hating the world and loving my tulip and loving all the squirrels running around playing. And finally started reading this book, The Way of All Flesh by Samuel Butler for book club. Who cares? It's excellent. Yeah, it's been a pretty uneventful week. I think my health, it feels like my health and stuff started making a turn when I decided not to move forward anymore about the therapy, but also when my friend came by with the groceries and stuff. After she left, I was able to nap. And I've been able to sleep since then. I haven't been all restless and agitated and fidgety. You know, human connection is an important thing. And like I said, it's not my strong suit by any stretch of the imagination. And yet I still keep trying. That's gotta mean something. Oh my God, did you just, I don't know if you heard that crashing sound. That's my cat. Millie's decided it's playtime, and so I guess I'm going to help her out with that. This is a dud of an episode, I'm sorry, but I wanted to get something out. And I've got two loads of laundry to put away. That's right, motherfuckers, after being sick for a week and a half, I finally did two loads of laundry and took out two giant bags of garbage and all my recycling, which is probably the most exercise that I have gotten in 2 weeks, and I'm fucking exhausted, and I still have to match my socks. So yeah, this is gonna be the super super dead boring episode. Yeah. Oh my God, Millie is really trying to liven it up in all the worst ways. Okay, is there anything else that I can say at the end of this? I've got two book clubs coming up this weekend I'm super excited about, which means I have to spend this week catching up with my reading because there are a lot of days I did zero reading at all. And I still, I've got some reading to do. And I think that's it. I'm looking forward to the Bridgetown Comedy Festival coming up. I've decided that, like, I know some of the shows are going to cost extra money that separate from my pass. So I think the main thing I'm going to focus on is if Janine Garofalo does a solo show, that's a separate fee. That will be what I spend my money on. Because I know I'm going to have to spend money to get Lyft rides home. That's right, Lyft. Who the fuck could ever use Uber with all the garbage that we know that have happened to their customers, that we know that's happened to their drivers, that we know the shitty behavior of their CEO, and yet Uber is used as a verb, and it's like, it's just gross. I just see Uber as a big giant rape bucket full of cum. it's just a rape bucket full of cum. Whereas Lyft, you know, I don't know, it almost sounds like a feminine hygiene product. Hopefully it's safer. Hopefully it's better. I still feel bad if I'm not going to actually be paying for cab service. But on my income, I kind of have to pick which things I'm going to really feel bad about. There's that. And it's still winter here. Not the snowy Winnipeg winter, but the rainy Portland winter. I think we've had two sunny days in the past 6 months, maybe. I'm kind of enjoying the fact that the weather is crummy because it makes me not feel so bad for being outside. I always feel like when there's nice weather, ooh, I should be outside doing something, like avoiding people being creepy so I can get a good walk in. It's like, no, I don't need to. It's crappy outside. I don't need any excuses to stay indoors. But that also makes me happy because last time I went to Bridgetown, it was a motherfucking heat wave. And I had to wear my least favorite shirt the day that I saw and ended up meeting Janine Garofalo. And this year, I think it'll be amazing if we're even feeling spring-like temperatures. And I've got cute things to wear, even though I'm back to being a fatty McPatty. So there's that. Oh, and I dyed my hair again, and I do not like it. I just want to go brown. But I didn't have brown. I had red. And I thought it wasn't going to be as vibrant, but it is Return of the Clown Pussy. And I mean, it's brighter than Clown Pussy. So much brighter. And I do not want to glow in the dark. And I do not like looking like glow in the sun. I don't want to be noticed. I don't want brown hair either, because that just isn't me. So I just have to find a more muted color. I'm sorry, this is just rambling into hair talk. I'm going to end it for here. Hopefully the next episode will be better. I think I'm either going to finally talk about my book clubs, or maybe if I feel better this week, I'll finally record the episode about when I stood up for myself and it went really well, especially since April is the 1-year anniversary of that. That's it. Bye.